If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You know what struck me as interesting this week? Where the hell are the Kardashians?
Kyle just said this thing about how the most difficult conversation she had with her daughters is she's gender fluid. I mean, yeah, you're scissoring and you got to tell your kids.
You are knee deep in sister wives gossip. Give it to me. What is happening?
So much shit's happening on that show outside of it. First of all, Cody and Robin, who people notoriously thought were broke, sold their Arizona home for $1.7 million cash.
I'm going to say it. Bravo is due to bring a couple new shows to the forefront because there are so many that are on pause. They've got to put some new blood in there. So
who's going to be on them? Who's going to be on those? You know anybody?
I keep getting DMs from people saying David Yontef is still talking about you. Apparently he told people that I had reached out and that he chose not to reach back out to me. So you want to fill me in? Because it sounds like you were in the room for these conversations.
Well, this was actually, hopefully you'll like this.
Sarah from the Sarah Fraser Show. It's so good to be back with you. How are you, my love?
Rachel, I'm so good. How are you?
Oh my, I'm great.
I'm a little under the weather. I'm like losing my voice. Anyway,
I hear it. I hear it. Why are you under the weather? What have you been up to in this last month and a half since I've seen you?
Oh, I think too busy. That's why. Well, you know, just like, first of all, being a mom to a 3.5-year-old, that, you know, there's always germs. And then, you know, I've been working on this talk show pilot. I've been working on my podcast course that will finally be coming out in December.
So exciting. And,
I know. I can't wait. I'm so excited to help creators because I know we're going to talk a little election, but I truly, this is exciting for you. And I think for myself, anybody that's even thought about or has a podcast, but podcasts really tipped that presidential election, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Rogan and Theo Von and so many, and even Call Her Daddy. I mean, that was such a huge viral moment. I heard somebody say to me the other week that podcasting is really only in its third inning. And I'm like, damn. I mean, if this were ever the time to launch a podcast, it is, that presidential election should have showed you what the future of media is. And it's not on cable television. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. And you know, what's interesting is that I feel like so many people want to start something. So many people want to work for themselves. So many people have something to say, but are really scared to do it. and to just start. And I know even for me, for years, I had wanted to figure out a way to have a platform and a voice. So for me, it's been great. I think your course is going to be unbelievable. It'll be really helpful for people that have been scared to take the leap. So I'm really excited to see what the course is all about and very proud of you. What is this talk show that you've been doing now? I've been seeing on your Instagram some clips. You're obviously in a new studio. Is that the studio of the talk show or is that totally different?
No, it's totally different. It's a podcasting company that I use out here in LA. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. Not sponsored, by the way, you podcaster. So if you live in Los Angeles or you want to do a podcast, book them. They're amazing. And no, I've been just kind of even trying to come up with the concept. I think the thing is people are not, people our age, younger, are not watching traditional TV. So it's been such a challenge about this pilot and how we kind of initially shot it was a very old school kind of talk show. Mm-hmm. And just the feedback and kind of all our own assessment of it is like, it's just not going to work anymore. It's not really working. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the talk shows that are still on TV are really there because there's nobody to replace them. There's nothing else. And not to say that the women and some of the guys that are doing shows aren't talented, but it's just, they're not getting viewers. They're not growing viewership. People, it's not must-see TV. Yeah. So it's very hard to come up with a pilot. Like, what is that? You know, what is it? Is it on the street stuff? Is it, you know, and I think too, this presidential election showed a real, here in America, people are really, don't like celebrities. You know, they're tired of celebrities. They want ordinary people, ordinary stories, things they can really relate to, not somebody that's twerking or is, you know, I mean, I love my Lady O, my Oprah so much, but I just think it's just not, it doesn't work anymore. It's not what it was 20 years ago. So it's been really hard to figure out what is that show that
but why wouldn't it? I mean, I'm just spitballing at the moment. Why wouldn't it just be what your show is now? But in a way to watch it, you know, whether it's on a streaming network or in video form, I have this goal that I would love to see my show on an airplane. Like you have 30-minute segments you could watch, and it's all different people and stories. And I started this podcast with the thinking that I want to be talking to celebrities who have been misunderstood, who have been reduced to a headline. They're on a mission to change their narrative. But that soon morphed into talking to experts and talking to authors and talking to politicians and athletes, not just people who were like, you know, pop culture stars. And then it turned into ordinary people with extraordinary stories, not just ordinary stories, because there are plenty of people that don't realize their stories are extraordinary. They're interesting. There are stories of that are so, you know, they're relatable because you've gotten yourself out of some situation or you've gone through some sort of trauma. And maybe the situations aren't the same, but the feelings are very understandable around the world. So I just love those kind of stories. So I think, you know, I know you cover a lot of reality TV, but even just, you know, doing that in a way that people can stream it and watch you do it in a format where it's a talk show is a great idea. It's something that I've not necessarily a talk show, but wanting to see my short form interviews in a way that people can watch it and enjoy it. So I get wanting that.
You know, no, and you're right. And, you know, maybe I think that's in filming this whole, you know, kind of pilot is like, maybe it is what my show is now. And it's just figuring out how do you make that bigger? How do you make like maybe a one segment thing that people like know the Sarah Fraser show for? Like, you know, ask Wendy or Wendy had hot topics. I mean, that could have really been the entire show, right? Hot one show on YouTube that's just about going and eating extremely hot wings, right? I think it's just missing that one thing, but I really do feel like I already have it. And then it's just taking it and bringing it to the next level.
And, and that's trial and error to see how people consume it. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. So that's where it's at. Yeah, that's everything I've been.
Cannot wait to see it. Really excited about it. I just wanted to follow up with people that did listen to us before. We had done a giveaway or a contest, for someone to get two free tickets to the Eagles. A wonderful listener who was a long lasting listener of both of our shows. One, her name was Cindy or is Cindy. And what ended up happening was that she couldn't get herself to Las Vegas at any time in the near future. We were able to get her tickets for whenever she wanted, but she decided that she wanted to do something a little closer home. So she went to last weekend, she went to the Commanders. Am I getting this right? And Steelers game.
Oh, nice.
If I'm wrong, tell me, but Steelers and somebody or other.
Wait, and wasn't it our girl Kathy, or was her real name Cindy? Am I getting that wrong?
No, you're right.
It's fine. No. I mean, people don't. You're having severe back pain. I am.
Everybody. I wasn't going to say this to everyone, but I had to take a muscle relaxer 2 hours ago, so my brain is like.
Just
but
tell everybody.
Kathy, Cindy, I love her. I don't want to get her name wrong. I should have gotten it right. But anyway, so she went to the game. She posted pictures from there. The seats were incredible. They had the best time. She brought her son. And so anyways, I feel really good about it. And, you know, hopefully another time soon we'll do another giveaway, because I think it's really fun to be able to see people enjoy things that we were able to provide.
Yes. So. And thank you to you, because that was your idea to do it. People wrote us incredible reviews on both of our shows and subscribed. And Kathy sent us this awesome picture of she and her son, like that you mentioned at the game. They look so good. So I'm so happy. She's an awesome
person. They looked like they were having the best time, good weather. And again, they had great seats. So I want to give a shout out to my boy, Sean Tucker, who provides the best seats at Tickets. If you guys are interested in any sort of concert, I don't know, anything like from comedy to a huge, you know, oh, that's a cute picture. Yeah. Comedy to a stadium show. He has tickets to anything, and you can DM me to get his direct number. All right. So let's go back to our format a little bit of a week in review, all the things that have happened. And let's start a little bit. I know that our listeners don't necessarily care about hearing our views of politics, but we can dumb it down for a second and just talk about what's happened in the last week. Do you need to cough?
Oh, no, it's like ongoing. Keep going.
Okay. So obviously, President
After
Trump.
All, is what a crazy off. Election.
Yeah. Crazy election. There has been, you know, we had someone come on our show. 2 months before the election, she was the internet's most notorious astrologer. Her name is Amy Tripp. She goes by the sign Starheel. She predicted that Donald Trump would win the election, even though it had looked in the polls at the time she was on like that would be almost impossible because Kamala was a rising star at the time. So she predicted correctly. I will tell you that she did come on my show the day before in an impromptu move. To say okay. that the stars had realigned and she was changing her pick to Kamala.
She did.
And what's interesting about
her gut.
I know. She's an astrologer. She's not supposed to go with her gut. She's supposed to go with the stars and the moons and Uranus or whatever. So so here's the thing. She texted me the other day. She couldn't get out of bed for like 5 days. She was so upset. Okay.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, she really
was. With what? Her judgment or her changing mind or what?
Yeah, so she shouldn't have changed her mind. And, you know, I gave her this talk about, listen, you cannot go with your gut. I don't know if that was a move because of your gut or because of what you were seeing. Either way, you know, you're going to learn from it. So now she's come out with a new prediction. You ready for this?
Tell me.
She says between November 17th and November 22nd, that Joe Biden is going to step down and let Kamala be president until January 20th, whatever it is, when they switch powers. So she believes she wasn't necessarily completely wrong. She thinks that Kamala will be the first woman president of the United States for that short amount of time. So that's her latest prediction.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Wouldn't that be wild?
Would not. I've actually seen that idea floated. I don't know. Okay. We'll have to see. I don't know.
We will see. I don't know that that's going to, I would think that that's a terrible idea because, you know, I think having a woman as a president is a big deal. I don't think that they should just hand that to somebody for a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would think that would be awfully patronizing to, I don't know, our entire system. Don't you think? Like,
I do. I mean, I think, you know, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, unless he truly was so incapacitated, which, you know, yesterday he welcomed President Trump now to the White House. They sat down together, certainly looked like a peaceful transfer of power between the two of them. We'll see what comes out, you know, behind the scenes. But
yeah, BFFs, right? They looked, and have you seen that meme that's now going around where it's Trump and Biden dancing, going hiking together? Have you seen this? It's hysterical. Oh. I'm going to send it to you.
Send it to me.
So, all right. Here's what else has happened in the last week, which I find incredibly interesting. So Trump has started to announce the people that he is going to pick as his cabinet. Have you read anything about this yet?
not as much as I should because I've been nonstop reality television, but a little bit here and there of, you know, Elon and Vivek getting appointments, Tulsi Gabbard. Mm-hmm. And of course, the most controversial one is Matt Gaetz.
Right. So let's talk about that for a second. I'm going to read this to you. In the last 24 hours, this is kind of a big deal. So Republicans have semi-officially won a 218th House seat yesterday, giving them control of the House. So the incoming Republican trifecta, they now have the House, the Senate, and the White House. They're going to start to reshape the government, at least for a while. But Trump is not making it easy because he's picking such controversial people. Matt Gaetz has been somebody that's even a pill that's hard for, you know, the most loyal Republicans to swallow. He is the most disliked member of Congress. So says the news, whatever. I don't think that that is not true. And most things that I read in the last 24 hours said that most people in Washington are stunned that Matt has been appointed. Also, other people, or that is his pick for attorney general. Also, as you mentioned, Tulsi Gabbard, she's his pick for director of national intelligence. Both of these people have little experience in their proposed jurisdictions, and they also have no experience at all in overseeing large organizations. So I think what people are saying is this is a loyalty test. Like when it comes to the point where they are looking to appoint them, will any one of the Republicans put their foot down and say this isn't happening, or will they step aside and let it happen because they don't want Trump to see, you know, that they are being disloyal?
I think Gaetz is going to be hard to get through because he does not seem well liked, to your point, by either party. I think Tulsi Gabbard will be. I think she'll be fine. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying she doesn't have a lot of experience, but I mean, she was a House of Representatives for Hawaii's 2nd Congressional District. I mean, she served in the military. She certainly knows how large organizations are won, 17 years in Hawaii's Army National Guard. I mean, she's
But here's the thing. She's going to be in charge of leading 18 spy agencies and overseeing a budget of $76 billion. I mean, I think that's a lot.
Yeah. But you don't think like her. I feel like her background, you know, it's not like she's never been involved in politics.
Well, many critics have said as of this morning, quote unquote, her appointment would be a national threat to the security of the USA. Somebody else that people are questioning right now is the nomination of Pete Hegseth. I'm pronouncing his name wrong, maybe, from Fox News.
Yes. News. Yeah.
So I never saw who this guy was. Have you ever followed him? I'm not a Fox News
Well,
watcher.
He is certainly well accomplished in his background. You know, he also, Army National Guard officer, is the nominee for United States Secretary of Defense, as you said. You know, he's a Princeton grad.
He's Harvard, no?
Says that he was active in the conservative and Republican politics since his undergraduate days at Princeton. I think you're right, though. I think he went to either Yale Law School or Harvard.
Something like that.
To get his.
Well, he has some real public
policy from Harvard.
He has some real thoughts on changing, you know, what's going on with active military. He wants to get rid of woke generals and he wants to take women out of combat. So I think that's going to, you know, ruffle some feathers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would ruffle feathers. Yeah.
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 So the thing going back to Matt Gaetz, you know, the thing with him is that he was involved, you know, he would be leading a Justice Department that was investigating him for sex trafficking until last year. So right. If people don't know this story, he was investigated because it was found out that he was on a site called Seeking Arrangement that is known for sugar baby and sugar daddy dating. And it was found to be the case that he was on it and talking with, paying women who are underage, so girls, to meet up with him, have sex with him, and another gentleman who I think was indicted, and I don't know if he's in jail now or what, but he got in a lot of trouble. So he's been cleared on this, I will say. But it was a whole scandal. And so I think a lot of people have a problem with him.
Yeah, I mean, yes. And to your point, he was cleared. So, I mean, you know, he is innocent. But it does sound like Matt Gaetz is not a very popular person.
No. Just like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I think is his best friend. And I'm kind of wondering if she's going to get any sort of appointment. If she does, I think people will like flip.
Yeah, that was, she's super polarizing. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be wild to see, you know. So
I don't know much about the government, but I would have thought that in the Constitution, they put something in there that that one party could not represent, you know, the House, the White House, the Senate, you know, all these different things, because you have to have both sides represented. So, I'm not really familiar with how terrible this is going to be for Democrats, how good it's going to be. You know, I'm not really sure what that means, but it sounds like it could be a problem for anyone who is still, you know, marching to the beat of the Democrat.
Well, look, I mean, you know, Washington is notoriously slow to change, right? So, and that's why you have the midterm elections. That's why these Congress people and representatives have terms on their, you know, on how long they can serve, and they have to be up for reelection. And, you know, I mean, a couple of years ago when the Supreme Court overturned abortion, we saw in the midterm elections, the Republicans got wiped out. You know, there was no red. They were thinking there was going to be a red wave in 2022. There was no red wave. You know, I think Americans are much more centrist than what the pollsters and what you see on cable TV. Hence my theory why I think cable TV has kind of jumped the shark. Yeah. And they just are more centered. You know, when they went so far on abortion, Americans said, absolutely not. We want some form of abortion, especially when it comes to rape and incest and the safety of a woman, right? Mm. You know, then unfortunately, over the past couple of years, border really hurt the Democrats, I think, in this election. Big time, big time, big time. The woke policies that we've still seen, the gender stuff in schools, even though it's small, the problem is it does make a huge wave. And we're not coming back to, people are centrist about this. They don't care what your kid is or wants to be or anything like that. But what they do care is, here in California, if your child goes to school and suddenly says she's a boy and wants to be called Tim, the school does not have the right to tell you what's going on with your kid. I mean, that's bananas. People, they want some sort of in the middle. Most people are fine with LGBTQI plus rights, of course. But when it becomes like,
hold on. Do you think that's true? Most people are fine
with that? Yes. I come from an extremely conservative Maine family. I grew up with two gunkles. There was never a problem. Yes, there were people in my family that were religious and felt like it was a sin, but they were always welcomed. People had, you know, differing beliefs. Yes. What people don't want is they don't want it with their kids, and they don't want to feel that they have lost control of parenting. If a parent is abusive to their child to the point that the school feels like, hey, if this kid comes out as gay, they could be hurt. Yeah. Then the school has an obligation. But unfortunately, what you've seen over the past 5 years is social workers at school, teachers, like policing their own beliefs onto kids and parents. We saw a huge backlash about this in this election. That's what you're seeing. The defund the police still has hurt the Democratic Party. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party does not have people that are willing to stand up and go, look, we need policing. People of color want better policing. They want fair policing, but they want cops on the street. They want to come home at night to a safe neighborhood. Everybody does. But you cannot find many Democrats that will stand up and say that. They're so afraid of offending that 5% of extremists. Same on the Republican side, these extremists that want no abortion rights. And America's far more in the middle. And I mean, it was shocking to me, this election, shocking. But I think it's a huge, I'm still a registered Democrat. I think it's a huge wake-up call to the Democratic Party. I hope they take it seriously, but it's 50-50. I still see a lot of my friends saying they're not going to have Thanksgiving with their Trump family members. To me, that's just insanity.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there.
Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Yeah, but what I do want to say, you know, is that I live in MAGA country right now.
Yeah, you do. You do. Sure.
I can tell you, I have plenty of friends that are gay, right? I can tell you that these people that I am around are not what you are saying. They are not conservatives that are in the middle about that stuff. They do not want. I was at Rudy Giuliani's house 12 days before the election for a forum, you know, about what was going on. And there were women there who did not have children, who were in their 20s, talking about education and how drag queens and LGBTQ people should not be allowed to be teachers. Insane stuff that didn't even make sense. They said drag queens are running every library in the school. I didn't even know what they were talking about.
Okay, that's crazy. Yeah, they're
crazy. But these are the people that are being given a platform by someone like Rudy Giuliani, who I know people think has lost it. But it's somebody who is like a huge platform of the MAGA movement, you know? So
I said most people, not right. All people. You are always going to have racist people. You are always going to have homophobic people. You are always going to have people that do not want any form of immigration. I love a lot of my Floridians, but you do live in the heart of it. Now, I live in California on the other side of it, you know, like that's like, you can't get woke enough here, you know? Yeah. So we both live in these polar extremes, but we saw, I think, from this election, people are far more in the middle. There are far fewer of the people that you went to Rudy Giuliani's house with.
I hope so, because I'd like to see some even keelness for the next 4 years.
There is when you get offline and you have normal conversations with people.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let's move on to more pop culture news.
So much of it. Oh my God. Yeah. Where I know far more.
Yes, well, me too. Hey, Misunderstood listeners, this episode is brought to you by Lola V. Yes, the award-winning hair care line founded by none other than Jennifer Aniston herself. With the holiday season upon us, it's the perfect time to embrace the joy of giving. And let's be honest, what could be better than the gift of gorgeous, healthy hair? Jen created Lola V because she, like so many of us, was tired of choosing between hair care products that actually worked and ones that were good for us. So she set out to create the ultimate clean, plant-powered hair care line. Whether your hair is curly, straight, fine, or thick, Lola V has something for everyone. The secret sauce? Their B Pro 3 Bond technology, derived from chia seeds. It's clinically proven to repair, protect, and prevent signs of damage and aging in your hair. It doesn't just mask the problem, it combats dry and breakage at the source, giving you visibly stronger, healthier hair. Now, let me tell you about my experience. I've been using the Ultimate Care Kit, and it's been a game changer for my hair. The restorative shampoo and conditioner made my hair feel softer and healthier after just one wash. And the glossing detangler, wow, it is my go-to for battling frizz, protecting my hair from heat styling, and adding that salon-worthy shine. If you're looking for the perfect gift this season, definitely check out that Ultimate Care gift. This holiday season, unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at lolav.com. As a listener of this show, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code Rachel15 at checkout. That's LOLAVIE.com with promo code Rachel15. Holistic Goddess has been such a trusted resource for me on my health journey. One product I really wanted to highlight is their holistic menopause support,
by PHD Health. It's been a game changer for me during perimenopause, and here's why I love it. It eases discomfort. It really helps with hot flashes and mood swings. The ingredients in it, including creatine, support mental sharpness. I feel more focused and clear-headed, which is so important for my busy days. Go to holisticgoddess.com and use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. All right, a couple things. First of all, you know what struck me as interesting this week? Where the hell are the Kardashians? Used to hear about them in every bit of news. I never see them anywhere. And then I saw something yesterday about Kim Kardashian, and it was like the most random, dumb headline about her doing nothing. But I was like, wait, what happened to them? Did they move to Spain because they were so upset about the election? I've heard nothing about them. Have you?
Fabulous point. I think they are just in their coasting era. I think they've already made their hundreds of millions of dollars. I think they use that Kardashians on Hulu as kind of a promotion. They put out a little information about themselves. Fabulous point. They've been very quiet, and I feel like they're happy about it.
Okay. That's interesting. You? Right. I hope so.
Do you? Because, I mean, you know, Chris is like a genius. Don't you think Chris would be drumming up stories? I mean,
oh, well, I think she's just waiting for her moment. Maybe there will be a story soon. There's either going to be a new husband or a new child or something's going to be happening soon. So,
we'll see.
Okay, couple little headlines I want to talk about. Jessica Simpson, do you think she's heading for divorce? People are saying that. You do?
Yes, I do. She used to be, you know, I mean, I think it's just like, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? There's been no pictures of Eric. There's been, you know, pictures without the wedding rings and bands. That's like, you know, sign number one. Yep. There's been some, I think it's over. What do you think?
I do think it's over, sadly. I really like her. You know, I've always thought she's so beautiful. I used to love her music. I wish she would just go back into singing. I think I read somewhere she just announced some new album or something as an ode to, you know, giving herself some, you know, forgiving herself for allowing things to happen in her life, whatever that means. So hopefully she has some music coming out. I like her. I hope the best for her. And I kind of love when I was in, I don't know if it was as long ago as college, but she made some really fierce boots. Have you ever put on a pair of Jessica Simpson boots?
I'm obsessed with Jessica Simpson foot line. Like her shoes are so great. She was like one of the first people to do shoes. And it was, oh my God. And for them to be in Nordstrom's, like she's a huge, there's where she's made all her money too. Yeah. It's like, there's no rush for the album. Yeah. When you're all Jessica Simpson. Oh my God. I've had so many fabulous pairs of Jessica Simpson shoes. Yes.
So I'm here for it. You know, we're obviously going to hear about the divorce and we're going to see who she's dating. She's going to be on the cover of some magazines coming up. Not that anyone looks at magazines anymore, but she's going to be in the news now coming up with her new dating life and her, you know, being a single mom and all that stuff. So I see that happening.
I want her back with John Mayer. I think there was some story about the two of them following each other, I think, again on Instagram. And I'm like, oh my God.
Ooh,
like sexual napalm gets back together. What a hot storyline. Yes.
Or maybe they're just collaborating on a song, but I guess we will see.
That'd be good too.
Yeah. The next thing that stood out to me, which kind of gave me the creeps, but I think people just are laughing about it online. Drew Barrymore is kind of getting a little bit roasted for being so touchy-feely with Martha Stewart. She asked Martha, what makes you soft and gooey? Weeks after she vowed to give guests more space and distance because she's been known to be too touchy-feely. So I think it was a very awkward moment. Do you watch her show?
I do. I watch some of Drew here and there, especially like when I'm homesick. I like Drew's touchy-feeliness. I feel like that is like, it's so cringe, but I think it's authentic to who Drew is. Mm-hmm. That moment was so funny with Martha. I just watched Martha Stewart's documentary on Netflix, which I was telling you, I highly recommend. It's so good. And, but that's Martha, you know what I mean? Martha does this whole thing in the documentary about how she realizes that she's never been able to keep a man because she has no feelings and she doesn't want to speak to them about how they feel. She wants to speak to them about like their thoughts and ideas and business, but she doesn't want to get into their emotions.
Interesting.
So it was so
okay. Well, that makes more sense. So obviously Drew watched the documentary and she wanted to get into her emotions and find out what she gets emotional about. Okay. So now I understand it.
Martha ain't emotional about that. I think Martha cries probably about that Kmart deal that eventually ended. That was like her just gravy train for so long.
Right. Or, you know, her a million pets that I remember when her chicken was killed or something by one of the dogs, or the dog was killed by the chicken. I think she really loves her animals.
I could see that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now to the interesting story of the day, finding out that Teddy Mellencamp is getting a divorce, and it has to do with an affair. I think everyone, when they first read this headline originally, or heard the rumors, thought it was because her husband was a notorious cheater. It now seems the rumor is she has been cheating with her married horse trainer. But I did see a headline today saying that that is just a cover up because she's really been having an affair with Kyle. So there's a lot to unpack here. You are knee deep in all this kind of pop culture stuff. What is your take on it?
I don't think that Teddy and Kyle are having an affair, but I love that storyline. I think this is shocking. I think it's absolutely true. You know, have you seen the picture of the horse trainer?
Yeah, I have.
Not that I'm not, I don't, I mean, I, we don't really talk about people's looks, but he's not attractive whatsoever.
Well, I mean, hold on. I will say this about that situation. Do you think that 13 years into a marriage where your husband has constantly kind of been, there's been rumors that he's cheating on you, you've had a history of going through cancer, trying to beat cancer, getting kicked off a show, like all these things. I think if you are, and I'm totally speculating, but if you're 13 years in a marriage where maybe you don't feel beautiful or loved, and it's not because of him necessarily, but wherever she is in her relationship with him and her relationship with herself, when you start to get, when you have chemistry with somebody, yeah, and you are so proud, they have this horse that he's training that she loves, and they're doing all this stuff together, and she feels understood and seen, and they're traveling to Florida together. I can see how that creates a chemistry where you think you have a spark with someone and they get you where you may have not felt understood or seen or loved or been sexy to your current husband. I think that I can see that happening, whether or not looks have anything to do with it. I didn't find her husband attractive either, though. Did you?
I thought he was better. I thought he was better looking than the horse trainer. But to your point, first of all, nothing will wake your ass up quicker in life than cancer. Like a cancer diagnosis, anytime a person has a cancer diagnosis, like everything changes in their life. They reassess everything because you're literally looking at, you don't know, you know, yes, it might be cured. Yes, it may not come back, or it may come back with a vengeance. You have no idea. I mean, that right there will make you just level up in what's going on in your life. So I'm not surprised. What I am surprised about always with these people, and then, you know, they always come out and say, well, you know, it's the kids and it's this. But, you know, Teddy and Tamara have made a fortune. I mean, a fortune over the past couple of years talking shit about everybody on those housewife shows. And they have been completely mum on these photos that have surfaced, you know, because that horse trainer, by the way, is also married to a woman. Yeah.
And by the way, people are saying that the wife was giving birth to her second child in California while he was with Teddy in Florida, which makes it even worse. And not only that, it seems like she wouldn't have admitted the affair had the wife not told her husband, because that's how it ended up coming out. And apparently there was an altercation, maybe at the horse stalls, whatever. But something went on where we don't really know if she would have let this secret out, told her husband, even ended the relationship, if the wife had not gone to her husband and told him. And it seems like she immediately filed for divorce so that he couldn't claim adultery. I heard that they have a prenup. Yeah. Adultery may be part of that. So we'll see as this pans out. But, you know, the other thing I don't understand about situations like this is, like, she's a public figure. She knows that decisions like this and skeletons in your closet like this will eventually come out at one time or another. And you will be dragged for it and hated for it, canceled for it, whatever. And I just think it's a terrible position to be in. But she put it on herself.
She's put it on herself. I always feel like when you do a show about stuff like this, like, you got to own your own stuff. Now, I know there's kids involved, but you'd think she would either be shutting this down or being like, look, it's the truth. I'm going to figure this out. Didn't plan it this way.
Right.
Like, don't you think, I mean, you know, what is your experience? I mean, you've obviously had a ton of media experience. Do you think it's better to just own it ASAP?
Well, I think that the media moves faster than the ability to decide how you want to handle a situation a lot. So if this news catches, it's like fire and it goes, you know, way too fast. You don't even know how to deal with it in your own personal circle. So So I think you tend to either clam up about it or you tend to lie until you figure out how to announce the truth, you know, yeah. And how to deal with it. So I don't know, but the point of what I was trying to say before is when you're a public figure like that, you have to stop and think about consequences, which I don't think, yeah, obviously she didn't think about, whether or not it was to get out, you know, is a whole nother story. But, you know, I think it's really tragic because she does have young kids.
Yeah.
That's the worst part. Cause then they have to read this and, you know, getting a divorce nowadays, to me, it's not a tragedy. If you're not in a good relationship, you should get a divorce. I've never been of the mindset that you should stay with somebody till your kids go off to college because of the kids. The kids see everything.
They know it all. Yeah.
They know everything. And by the way, you want to give them the idea of what a healthy, loving relationship is, not a fake relationship that they know that their parents hated each other and they're with other people. You know what I'm saying? So I think that I came from a divorced family. I know what that's like. I'm, you know, a single mother, but you know, when I do finally marry somebody, I will hopefully pick someone that shows my daughter who a loving relationship is with and what that's like, not lying and deceit and all that stuff, you know?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this story is pretty wild. I did not think, I don't know. I mean, do I spend a lot of time thinking about like if Teddy Mellencamp is having an affair? Not really. But, you know, it was a little shocking. She has been through a lot. But, you know, to your point, you don't know people's inner relationships, marriages, all that. Yeah. So
I did think it was interesting that they dragged the story of Kyle back into this because Kyle, who didn't she win like the most liked reality star? What was the award she won?
Us Weekly named her, I think, I don't know if it was reality TV's most powerful star or, yeah, you're right. Something like that. I can't, maybe George can look up the title, but.
So while one of you is looking it up, I find it interesting that she, so I just had Carlton Gebbia on.
Yes.
Who is a practicing Wiccan for people that don't know this about her or don't remember. She was on Real Housewives for one season, I believe. And she, we talked about her being a witch, a practicing witch. And she talks about when she's around someone who is a toxic person or she feels death or she feels these negative things. She gets a metallic taste in her mouth. Anyways, she goes on to talk about how Kyle is one of the most vile human beings she's ever met, that she couldn't stand her. And when I asked her about, you know, what she thought the reality was, because she had been around, you know, the marriage of the two of them for so long, you know, I asked if she thought that she really was now a lesbian. And she said that she thought it was a storyline because God knows she needs one. And what I find interesting about this is that this has been a storyline now for what, two seasons? And we still haven't had her come out and say, yeah, I'm gay, or I'm thinking about being gay. Like, what's the point? Like, why don't you just say, yeah, I'm scissoring this woman, or, you know, I'm not? Because don't you think it's rude to the LGBTQ community? Like, if I were them, I'd be like, bitch, just come out. And by the way, it's so boring. Who cares?
I'm with you. I would just say I'm scissoring. I don't know what the holdup is.
Yeah, that's so much more interesting.
I think she is scissoring.
You do think she is.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. She just came out. Kyle just said this thing about how the most difficult conversation she had with her daughters is she's gender fluid. I mean that, yeah, you're scissoring and you got to tell your kids like,
well, listen, I will tell you this. There was a point in my life where I became friends with this woman, Katarina, and she was bi. And she would tell people that I was her girlfriend. I don't know why. And we were very good friends, best friends for, I'll say, 2.5-3 years. She did everything with me and my daughter. I went away with her and her son with my daughter. We would tell, I mean, not me. She would act like I was the wife and she was the husband, kind of. She was a gorgeous, blonde, buxom woman who did not look like a lesbian, but a gorgeous one, right? And it was very uncomfortable for me, but it worked well for her. It's how she got dates. I don't know. Don't ask. But I will tell you, I'm not a lesbian. I have no inkling to lick anything, suck anything. I'm not into it. Okay. I'm just not. No offense. But I went along with it sometimes just because it was just easier. And so I can see how she, you know, meaning Kyle, would kind of go along with this because it has created a storyline. And I loved Katarina, but I definitely was not about to do anything intimate with her. So I will just say that.
Yeah. I mean, right. And if Kyle felt that way about Morgan, wouldn't she say it? Like, I mean, maybe not like you just said it, but you know, you'd say something like that. So I think she's just like, no, they're together. By the way, I'm so jealous of you. You've sucked some amazing dicks. Like I really, you know, you are like my hero. You really are. I mean, truly, God.
Well, I don't kiss and tell, but it's funny. If I was with a woman, I would find it. I would be like, yeah, this is so interesting. This is new and fun.
I had sucked the famous dicks that you had sucked. I'd never be gay either. I mean, you are like the epitome of like what, like we're all aspiring to be where you are. I mean,
Well, no comment about that. But anyways, let's move on because I've been going down the rabbit hole of your Instagram, seeing all the cool stuff that you've been covering in the world of reality TV. So I want to kind of go through this. I had on my show, Mary, you had Mary on the show. You've had a couple people now, right? You are knee deep in Sister Wives gossip. Give it to me. What is happening?
So much shit's happening on that show outside of it. First of all, Cody and Robin, who people notoriously thought were broke because the kids have said that they're bad with money, sold their Arizona home for $1.7 million cash to a Las Vegas buyer who's going to use it as a weekend home. And a lot of people believe it's a fan that's going to turn it into an Airbnb.
Wow.
They get this $1.7 million cash offer. They purchase a $2.1 million home. Put $420,000 down. Now, I've been trying to tell people for a long time, they are now one of the longest running reality TV shows on television. They started in 2010. The Kardashians are probably the only show. Now, obviously, Bravo Housewives is a franchise. And RHOC, I think, was one of the OGs. But they're one of the longest running reality TV shows. These people are making a fortune now. Okay, every episode, probably 50, 60 grand an episode. There's 20, 25 episodes because now they do these one-on-ones and specials. So they're selling their homes, okay, buying monster mansions that people never thought they could afford. Christine Brown has now filed a paternity lawsuit and custody and child support lawsuit against Cody Brown. We're finding out Cody hasn't made any child support payments for his daughter Truly in probably 3 to 4 years. She's asking for 4 years back child support. This guy is about to pay probably $6,000 a month to Christine Brown. They got a court date coming up in December. You know, obviously, this has been such a hard year for that family because Garrison Brown, one of their children, took his own life in March of 2024. So sad, been so difficult. Fans are waiting. Are we going to have a special about him? Are we going to have something about him? Or I think there's going to be real uproar if they do nothing but like a few graphics that honor him or pictures. A lot of people are anticipating a special or the finale is going to be the reactions of the family finding this out. So much is happening off the show. It's wild. You had Mary on. I had Mary on. Mary's been dating. I mean, Mary got so much freaking attention for going public with that one guy. I don't know if she's even going to put out the next guy. Her Worthy Up seems to be a success. I mean,
talk to me about what I saw you posted today, I think, about Worthy Up. When I had her on the show, I have to be honest with you, I didn't understand the Worthy Up thing. And I felt kind of bad pushing her about it because I didn't get it. And I don't know if she really knew what it meant. So can you explain it?
Yeah, she should be explaining it to you that it's an accountability and like a motivational monthly subscription where you have access to Mary and she gives you like help in your business, your relationship.
She didn't know that at the time. She had not even established that at the time. Because when I asked her, she said, it's just this concept that no matter what you do, you are worthy. Just being born is worthy. And I didn't get that. I mean, I don't think that that is true. Just because you're born, you're worthy. I mean, sure, you start as a worthy person, but like you can't just sit around and be a bump on a log and not do anything to be worthy. You have to make yourself into something. You have to have some motivation. You have to try and be someone. So I'm not sure that I followed where she was going with it. And maybe she just didn't verbalize it well enough. And at the time, she also didn't have a place where it was like a call to action that people could, there wasn't a book. There wasn't a manuscript. There wasn't something you could follow or a class. So I'm liking hearing that she's now turned it into something that she can make money from.
Yeah, it's like a three-tiered subscription-based service that you can sign up for every month. They just had an in-person gathering in Utah because she lives in Utah. It looked like it was pretty well attended, maybe 100, 120 people. I will agree with you. When she was on my show with her bestie, Jen, I do think they're having a hard time really marketing what it is. Because I was giving them ideas like, you know, Mary got a ton of shit for launching that because people were like, why would I take advice from you? Like, she had this catfishing incident. She's been a polygamist, failed marriage. And I'm like, Mary, you're the perfect person to give advice because you had to live out your life in some of your darkest moments on television.
Yeah.
Like, you're under a magnifying glass. Like, you are the one to give people advice because if you can survive and thrive that, she's like, oh, that's such a great idea. I never thought of it that way. I'm like, you guys got to hire me.
I was giving her advice too. And she was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think they do have a bit of a marketing dilemma there. I think she's a great person to do it, but I'm not sure. I mean, my understanding is it's doing well, but I'm with you. I really like
her. I want the best for her. I think that now if she gets her act together, she could write a book called Worthy Up. And I'm sure that name is taken, but she could talk about all the lessons she's learned and why she is worthy and how you could be worthy too. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love all your sister wives stuff. Did season 19 start?
Yeah, we're 10 episodes in.
Okay.
We're underway, probably halfway, more than halfway now into season 19.
Worthy of watching?
I'm obsessed with it. I love it because polygamy is just so odd. I mean, you know, like my husband's always like, oh my God, Sarah, you're like overwhelming. I can't imagine having three more of you. Like, right. And I would love my husband to try to be a polygamist for a day. Like he is so, he's such a great husband, but like him with multiple women.
Well, how would you deal with the other women that were trying to share him in bed and make him dinner and also annoyed at him, whatever?
Hell no, would you? No, I'm way too jealous. And I feel like I can go out and flirt with men and I know the line, but he can't. He can't flirt with men or women. That's right. But I've never met a guy I don't like at a bar. So, but I like know the, you know, I know the line.
Right. No, I get you. Another one you cover and go deep into is 90 Day Fiance. You know, I just had Shekinah on my show.
That's good. Such a good get.
Yeah, it was a good get. I was happy to have her. She's kind of interesting. You know, I didn't follow that show. So they do 90 Day Fiancé the other way. This is the girl listening that don't know. She's the one that was from the United States, but ended up meeting a guy in Turkey who was like a total playboy who had, you know, admittedly slept with thousands and thousands of women. They're both very good looking and decided to get married and she moved to Turkey. And I'll be honest with you, behind the scenes, when I interviewed her a couple weeks ago, the finale just came out, or the last episode just came out, I think this week. It was very clear she was not in Turkey. It was very clear she had started working on her business in America. But I did see in the latest post that she's talking about loving the family in Turkey.
Are they together?
I don't think so.
I feel like they're not. I feel like I'd read that somewhere too. Like they're definitely not, but they're still like friendly.
Yeah, I don't think it's out yet because the finale or whatever it is, the reunion is out yet, the tell-alls. So my prediction is that they are not together because she was definitely in America and would not answer any questions about the status of their relationship. But it also could have been because she wanted to, you know, reveal that on the finale or on the reunion and they're having a baby. I mean, who knows?
Yes. Yes,
I love Turkey.
Yes.
I've been to Turkey. I did a biking excursion through Turkey for 14 days. I think it's a beautiful place.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I hope it works out.
I know. Me too.
Oh, but the telltale sign is she had her dog back in America with her. And that was a big thing for me because she had brought the dog there. And it's not easy to bring a dog on a 10-hour flight to Turkey.
Oh, so they have to be quarantined for like 6 weeks or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But that gave me some pause. I thought that maybe they were not together.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So another person I had on my show was Johnny Bananas, who was super fun.
Okay. I don't know much about Johnny Bananas. Tell me what I need to know.
He's really interesting. We had this great chemistry in person, meaning like he was fun. I thought that he would kind of be a dickhead or whatever. I loved him. He was great. And he talks about how he's made a living out of being on reality shows. That's how he pays his bills. That's how he does. That's how he lives his life. He can't have it. He can't find a real girlfriend because he's too immersed in reality TV. And the one prediction I have on that is that I believe he will be on the next season of Traitors. Maybe not the one that's about to air, but one coming up. I think that he is going to be given a second chance because he was the first one let go of season two of Traitors, I believe, and they didn't give him enough airtime. So I think he's going to be back on Traitors.
What is Johnny Bananas most famous for?
Oh, he was on The Challenge. He's been on 24 episodes or seasons, excuse me, of The Challenge, which is now in its 40th season. It's airing now, and he is on that one as well. He's won 7 of the 24 seasons.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've so never watched The Challenge.
I've never watched it either, but anywhere I go, people are like, oh, Johnny Bananas. So
it was. Yeah, people love him. He's like a huge personality, but yeah, I never watched that show. I'm not a huge fan of competition shows. Like my husband loves Survivor, never missed a season.
Yeah.
But I never can really get into them.
Yeah, me too. I love Traitors and that's a competition show. So did you watch it?
No.
Everybody
freaking loves Traitors. I know.
You'll love it. You'll binge the whole thing because that's a really fun one. But Survivor. So I had this woman on. It just came out this Saturday. She's a producer of a show on Vice that's out right now. It's called The Dark Side of Reality TV. Yeah. It's in its last 2 weeks. It's covered all sorts of reality shows. Survivor was their premiere that it started with. And it talks about the first season with Richard Hatch and how he won the show. By the way, Richard Hatch, do you remember this? Went to jail for not paying taxes on his $1 million winnings. That's incredible. But so they cover all these different shows on the Dark Side of Reality TV. They cover Kid Nation, which I didn't remember. They covered Joe Millionaire, The Swan. The Swan I loved. If people don't remember The Swan, they took these essentially ugly duckling type of people and did 20 different procedures on them, sent them to the gym, got them new hair color, and then essentially changed everything about their body besides their eye color, which you can't. They give them a new nose, cheeks, jaw, boobs, stomach, redid everything about them. And so they were talking about the pitfalls of stuff like that, where people's marriages ended because they didn't look the same. They had all sorts of issues with their boobs. They had to pay for the medical procedures. These people were almost dying on the table because they got so much done. So they were just talking about how terrible it was. There's one episode dedicated to the Real Housewives, which Vicky Gunvalson comes on and shares her experience.
And is now, of course, since backtracked, but.
Oh, okay.
See that?
I did not. But
yeah.
Anyway, interesting to get their perspective because they do say that the dark side of reality TV essentially is that it leaves long-term effects and people have been devastated by whether it's their own behavior or how they were portrayed or things they had to go through to get this kind of content on the show. And essentially they wouldn't do it again. So that was interesting to hear.
Yeah, I like that series, The Dark Side. I've watched several of those. It's really good.
Yeah, Vice TV is an interesting network. They have some stuff out. So I have a question for you. I was very interested in the last couple of posts I saw. You interviewed the publicist for Raquel, whatever she's going by now, on Vanderpump. Now I had a question, and maybe I'm totally out of it, but what the hell is her publicist doing? Taking over her podcast, and why is her publicist becoming famous enough that you were interviewing her? Like,
great questions.
Get it.
Great questions. I had the same ones. So Juliet Harris is her longtime publicist, and I asked the same thing. And also, I said, why does Rachel need a publicist unless she's coming back to television? Mm. And she would, you know, Juliet famously said in the interview that she does not lie. She won't answer. She won't call you back, but she will not tell an untruth. And she really would not answer that question. She also would not answer if Rachel is being courted to come back to the finale, the season ending Vanderpump Rules season 12. I think she is, which is why Juliet would not tell people that. And I think the reason that they're thinking about or maybe trying to bring Rachel back is because I do not think Ariana is coming back. I think Ariana has such a big career outside of it. She truly hates Tom. So if you can't get Ariana, wouldn't you want to see a maybe Rachel, Tom Sandoval, two episodes of them maybe discussing how manipulative Tom was, as Juliet says, and a narcissist. So that was it. And then to answer your question of why Juliet is taking over the podcast, she says that iHeart is the one that came to her. And it's very up in the air about what they're going
to
do.
Does anyone listen to that podcast? I don't even know what it's called.
I mean, that was my Going Rogue. Rachel Goes Rogue was what it was originally called. And then Going Rogue. I mean, that's a great point. I kind of had that same question. Like, did Rachel quit because of ratings? They say no. Rachel's truly done talking about Vanderpump. She's over it. She doesn't want to do a podcast about it. And like, that's really all people wanted to hear. They didn't really want to hear her interview mental health experts. So I think it was ratings, but obviously there must have been ratings enough. They're going to have Juliet host for now, but Juliet did say they are auditioning some other hosts. So it sounds like it's quite temporary. It's not, you know, she may have a co-host. She may pop in and out. Your friend Mark Garagos is going to come on. So it sounds like
so weird.
Reality Reckoning. They claim Reality Reckoning is still happening.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So the other thing I read recently is that, well, first of all, I find Vanderpump completely boring. Okay.
You do.
They need something new. And is it airing right now? I don't know anything about it.
No, it's on pause. It's on pause. They cannot, we don't know why. We don't know. We don't know if
it's boring, maybe.
Maybe it's boring and it sucks. Yeah, we don't know the answer to that, but it is, we're hearing that season 12 will be the end, but we're also hearing it may never film again. So you're not wrong.
So also I saw that there's rumors that The Real Housewives of Dubai has ended. I don't think that Bravo's come out and actually officially said it, but do you think it's over?
It's on pause. Yes, and it should be. It was so bad. And now Roni should be on pause indefinitely.
These are all so boring. By the way, I have Caroline Sansbury on Monday. So I'm going to ask her.
That'll be good. She's going to tell you that they don't know and they could be coming back and she's not privy. It's so boring. It was so bad. And Roni is horrendous.
What, and I just read that there was like a fake storyline. The only storyline they had was now fake about pretending somebody was having a baby. I mean,
yeah, pretending that Rebecca Minkoff had a one night stand with someone that's not her husband and got pregnant. Yeah.
Fake. Okay. Well, I don't watch any of those. There's like no good show.
Not missing anything.
Bravo. Here, I'm going to say it. Bravo is due to bring a couple new shows to the forefront because there are so many that are on pause. And they've got to put some new blood in there. So
who's going to be on them? Who's going to be on those? You know anybody?
I'm not sure, Sarah, but I'm just saying, I think that there should be some new shows.
Well, I think you're right. And I will say Salt Lake, I think, is amazing. RHOC was great to watch. Obviously, I'm a huge Sister Wives fan. I've been a longtime 1,000-pound sister fan. I could sort of take it or leave it.
Love it.
Yeah, I love their antics off the show more than I do on the show. 90 Day, I'm so burnt out with, but I do, in December, they're coming back with Last Resort, which is where they take these 90 Day couples and they kind of like, this is their last chance to try to make it. I enjoy that. That'll be back. But 90 Day Fiancé has kind of jumped the shark for me too. It's just, it's the same old thing. There was another couple that came out and said they basically.
What is the saying you keep saying? Jump the shark? Isn't it
jump the shark?
Isn't it jump the ship?
No, I think it's jump the shark because it's a reference to the movie Jaws when they. I think it was like, I don't know if it was Jaws 3 or something where they used a fake. Hold on, let me see where it originates.
I remember from Jaws 3 is they're like, it's in the park. Get out of the park.
Let's see. Jump the shark is a term that is used to argue that a creative work or entity has reached a point in which it has exhausted its core intent and is introducing new ideas that are discordant with or an extreme exaggeration of its original purpose. Where did it really come from? The phrase was coined in 1985 by radio personality John Hine in response to a 1977 episode from the fifth season of the American sitcom Happy Days, in which the character Fonzie jumps over a live shark while on water skis.
Okay. Well, jump ship is about leaving a situation in which one is not without having obtained permission to do so. Jump ship and Cape Town. I don't know what that means. Anyways, I thought I've been saying jump ship this whole time. So
jump ship, jump the shark, whatever, you know, tomato, tomato. Anyhow.
Okay. The last thing I want to ask you about is, I saw that you've been doing some live talks with David Yontif. What is it that you guys have been
doing? Oh, let's talk about David. David Yontif is always in the news. Yes. Virtual live podcast with David Yontif, which is essentially you come to a virtual recording where we do our podcast. People get to see that behind the scenes. And then we do like an hour and a half of Ask Us Anything. They can ask us.
Are you guys in person? And then it's almost like a big Zoom and everybody's just watching?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And how many people are actually coming to watch this kind of thing?
Usually we average about 50 people.
Wow. Okay. And you do this what, once a month?
No, we've been doing it every like 3 months. We'll probably do another one sometime in the new year. There, you know, it's a lot of work behind the scenes because we also try to get a sponsor because it's an opportunity for, you know, I mean, you have big advertisers. It's a more affordable option for a lot of our small businesses, like to come on, to have access to our email, our people. So we have to work on getting sponsors and laying out the show. So it just takes a lot of work. So we do them probably every 3 months.
Got it. So I've been getting some DMs, and I don't know if it's from people that are watching your stuff, the virtual shows later, or if they're still, are you still doing once in a while an episode with him here and there?
Yeah, we still do a pod trade weekly. So every Thursday and Saturday, he's on my show. And then he airs our episodes. I don't know what days. And then he puts the virtual live podcast shows on his Patreon, which has caused a lot of drama. A lot of people have subscribed and had a lot of thoughts on.
Interesting. Right. So I keep getting DMs here and there from people saying, David Yontif is still talking about you. My latest one I got from somebody in Australia, which I think is funny. She said she keeps hearing my name come up in conversation and I should not stoop to his level. And, you know, I don't even bother anymore to ask what has happened. But apparently he told people that I had reached out and that he chose not to reach back out to me. So you want to fill me in? Because it sounds like you were in the room for these conversations.
Well, this was actually, hopefully you'll like this, but the last virtual live show we did, he said good things about you. And he said, I need to make up with her. Don't quote me. I think it was something about, he just hasn't had time, but he said he would rather make up with you than anyone else that he's feuding with. You know, he had Bravo Bench ended. So, you know, I don't think he's very friendly anymore with his former co-hosts, Anna Kinkosis and Ace. And so
it ended as quickly as it started. That's interesting.
It ended. So I think he was very complimentary to you, saying, yes, you had texted him. He needs to reach out. And you're on top of his list of someone to reconcile with. So I think this is progress between you two.
Oh, like,
I'm trying to facilitate a makeup here. I feel like 2025 will be your year. You two will come back.
We may come back, but do you think that you will have a falling out with him? You're the only one he hasn't had a falling out with.
Because people DM me this all the time. You're next. You're next. I always say to people, I think you have to take David for what he is, right? And David and I have a very good relationship because I don't have any expectations on our friendship. Meaning, I know what David's about. David is about, his show is his baby. And he is going to put his show and all that goes into that show first. And I'm fine with that because, like, if as long as you're full disclosure with me beforehand, there's no pretense that it's going to be anything more than that.
Well, here's the difference between you and me and him. Our children are our babies. Whoever, your husband is the next priority. But then number three, I think, is your show. For me, it's my show also. So, but I do know how to prioritize a friendship or do the right thing or not talk badly about somebody who I care for. So that to me is how this whole feud started because I, you know, as I will say again, a headline came out where someone got wrong what he and I were talking about, and it was about PK and Dorit. And, you know, I thought that was not cool because they hadn't announced yet that they were getting a divorce or separation or whatever, but I knew that that could be fuel for it. And my relationship with PK was over a decade ago and more than that because my daughter's 12. So we're talking 15 years ago. And the way that the article was written is that I had spoken on his podcast like I had just had an affair with, or, you know, that I was dating PK, like it was a recent thing. And I told David to clarify that with the person that wrote the article. And he wouldn't. He refused to do that. And because it was getting clickbait and headlines. And I didn't like that. I thought that he should cover the bases to be factual. And especially because it was about me and I didn't like that. And he didn't do it. So I, you know, he whatever his words are that I went off on him, I got unhinged. I didn't get unhinged. I, you know, was mad. I was mad that he didn't come through for a friend and correct that, because I thought it was irresponsible for someone who was married to have that out in the paper. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And then I thought it was terrible that he chose to block me and, you know, blame me and not be friends with me anymore when I was ready to talk to him. So anyway, that's where we stood.
Said that you're the one that texted him and said, I want to take a friend break. I don't think.
I did. I did say I'm done with this friendship right now. And then afterwards, you know, it had been months and I was like, listen, I would like to resume our friendship, but like have a conversation about this. And he wouldn't even have a conversation. Like he was mad at me. I didn't do anything to him at all. So now what's upsetting is that he knows that I reached out to him a bunch of times and he just chose not to respond, which I think is just a dick move. So hopefully he will write me.
I thought he did respond. You guys were supposed to have a phone conversation. Yes,
he responded and said, I will call you after, you know, my show today. Never called. I texted him again and said, I'm free the rest of the day. He just, you know, stopped responding. So he owes me an apology and he owes me a phone call and he owes me some responsibility in a relationship. If you can't be friends with somebody unless they keep up the friendship. Oh, and
I want to be there. I hope we can get the three of us on a podcast. I want to be there for this podcast reconciliation, because he says that, you know, the people, and I mean, it is true. Like a lot of people do listen to his podcast. So he says like they wrote the headline and what was he going to do? I mean, message that woman. She wasn't going to retract it. So it's like, you know, he's like,
we could have done another podcast talking about it. You know what I mean? I felt like it was irresponsible. Yeah. And I don't like that. I don't like headlines to be such clickbait that it makes him money, but doesn't tell the truth. I don't like that. That's not responsible, in my opinion.
Well, like I said, I hope you guys, I thought there was like some light in the tunnel. I hope he calls you in 2025. And then
maybe I could be a guest on your next virtual thing and people can facilitate whether or not we get back together.
But I was thinking, I'm going to try to orchestrate that. That'd be so good.
That would be good. And then you could also have Kim D.
Never going to.
Heather McDonald. Heather
McDonald. Kim came for me. I wouldn't even allow that. Kim came for me after I defended Kim, did a video about Kim.
You did the same thing to me.
And when I've gone to David, I've said this to David on the record. I've said to David, when that happened, you need to call her. You're never going to be as strong. You're never going to grow your Patreon as big. I've been through something similar. Yeah. Find a way to make it work, even if it means she takes content and tries to monetize it. And then she did this whole rant about, I'm not a girl's girl, all this stuff. And I have been nothing but complimentary to her about how great they were. And I slid into her DMs. I said, I hope you guys can work it out. So no, I wouldn't even let her back on. No, screw her.
Okay. So, and then you have Heather McDonald and Kelly Dodd.
Kelly's a hatrepreneur. You know, she, that's what she's made her money off now. I mean, she just feuds with anybody. She'll feud with a stick. So I don't, and Kelly's also come for me over, you know, stuff. No, and Kelly's ridiculous. I could care less. I am a huge fan of Heather. I love Heather. I disagree with that one on David, and I've said it, like, because I guess there was some text message about or DM about, she said, welcome to my city. David took that as like she was sort of like watching, you know, like you're in my turf.
Right.
But I think Heather McDonald's one of the most talented podcasters of all time. She's amazing.
Me too. I love her. I think show. She's great. Yeah. And I love when she has me on. She's fantastic. And I will say,
I have these disagreements with David and we're like totally fine. I don't understand. I don't know what happens with women. I think they have an expectation with him. I don't know. I mean, I have an expert, but I
think they don't even know him. I think they don't like how he speaks about them. Like he does know them. Listen, I know a lot of people have a hard time with Kelly Dodd. Kelly Dodd and I do not share the same political views. We don't share a lot of the same views on a lot of things, but I love Kelly. She and I are close when she comes to Florida. Her and her husband have been to my house twice. They've gone out to dinner with me and my daughter, just the four of us. Like, it's a very strange relationship that you wouldn't believe happened, but like, I'm close with Kelly, which is odd because she seems like somebody who hates everybody, right? But she, you know, we met on the street through who was she at? She was with Jeff Lewis. And they were at dinner, and I was at a restaurant, and she came up to me and was like, everyone tells me I look like you and we have to meet. And we became best friends. It was so funny.
Oh my God.
I know.
Well, you know, look, if it works for you, that's great. But with Kelly, it's like, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know? She has a hard time with a lot of people. So, you know, it is what it is.
She asks for everything she gets.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. All right. Well, Sarah, I love seeing you again. Thank you for all that podcast information, all that. I love hearing what you're doing. I am so excited to hear what happens with you. Thank you for all the roundup of what's happening in reality TV. And we have to do this again.
I was going to say, we're going to do this again right after like the holiday. Cause I got to get an update on your dating life. Like people love your dating life.
I have an update. All I will tell you as of right now is that I am dating somebody very seriously. As we were doing the podcast, he just arrived with his mother who is in town. It's the first time I'm going to be meeting her. So as soon as I leave my podcast studio, I will be saying hello to her for the first time. She's staying with me through Monday.
Oh my God. Okay. We're going to do a big update. Everybody loves your dating life. I can't wait to hear it. We're sending you good vibes. Let's call our astrologer friend. Hopefully she's out of bed. She can give you some Amy, we want you back, sister.
God, that's so funny. All right. Well, I'll give you an update in a couple months or whenever we see each other again, but I love you. Thank you so much. It's great to see you.
You got to talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.